Let us pray.
Almighty God, we thank you for this word, for this wonderful story with so much imagery in it that really has a powerful lesson that we can learn from it. And so we ask now that your Spirit will be upon us. You will move in our hearts and help us to capture that message that we need to hear. And I ask, Lord, that your Spirit will guide me as I share the words that you've given me. And in Jesus' name I pray, amen. Most Sundays, or many Sundays anyhow, some of you will say to me after worship, "Boy, it's like you were just talking to me. I really needed to hear that." Today's is for me, too. We've both been pretty stressed, and so we needed to hear this message today, too. When a mother saw a thunderstorm forming in the mid-afternoon, she worried about her 7-year-old daughter, who would be walking home from school that was 3 blocks away. And deciding to meet her daughter, the mother saw her walking then nonchalantly along, stopping to smile whenever the lightning flashed. Seeing her mother, the little girl ran to her, and she said, "All the way home, God's been taking my picture." Did you ever stop to think about what you would be feeling if you were in that boat with the disciples when that terrible storm arose that day? Would you be afraid? Would you be angry with Jesus for sleeping instead of helping? It doesn't take much for me to decide how I would have been feeling about the storm. I used to hate storms that passed through the night. I didn't like it because I couldn't see what was happening, and there was that big flash of lightning and that pounding noise. And as soon as the rumble started in the distance, I would get up and I would go close all the windows in the house, no matter how hot it was. My poor husband didn't appreciate that. I don't blame him. And then I would try to fall back to sleep. And most of the time, I closed my eyes really tight as I could. I buried one ear into the pillow, and I put my arm over the other one, hoping that I wouldn't hear it. It really didn't work too well. I couldn't fall asleep, usually. But now, the daytime storms, I didn't mind those, because I could see all around. I could see what was going on. That didn't bother me. But boy, those nighttime storms were just, they were just something. I was afraid that lightning was going to come in the windows and strike something. I was afraid the wind was going to blow so hard that it would blow out the glass in millions of little pieces. Of course, it never happened, but that's how I felt. Now, over the years, that's changed for me. In fact, I kind of like the nighttime storms and get disappointed when the weatherman predicts one and we don't get one. I still will get up and I'll shut the windows, but more often than not, I can fall right back to sleep, or I just like to sit there and listen to it and watch it. I don't know, maybe I'm losing my hearing and it doesn't bother me as much, or maybe I've finally learned to trust God to watch over me and keep me safe during the storms. The storms of life, much like the storms of the night were for me, and the storm that the disciples encountered in the scripture that I read for you earlier, they can stir up similar feelings of fear and anxiety that the disciples felt at that time and that I felt at one time about storms, especially when they sneak up on us and catch us totally unprepared. As the fury of the storms of life engulf us, negative, stressful feelings can overwhelm us. The magnitude of some of life's storms may push us to our limits and test our faith. Like people who don't know God, those of us who have been faithful and have learned all about God and his ways can find it difficult to hold on to God during those difficult storms. We become susceptible to questioning whether we've been fed lies about God. We may feel abandoned by him, even angry at God, wondering, does God really care? The storms of life potentially swallow us up, leaving us with feelings of hopelessness, helplessness, and loneliness. Today's scripture tells us that the disciples were very afraid as the storm hit them. They feared for their lives. And when they saw Jesus lying there in the boat, fast asleep, one thing they surely wondered was, how in the world could we be sleeping with this horrible storm going on around us? And why wasn't he awake, helping us to navigate those boats through the storm? Finally, they do wake him, and they ask him, don't you care if we drown? Now, the text doesn't tell us what kind of help the disciples really were expecting from Jesus. Some of us might assume that they expected Jesus to do a miracle of some sort. I mean, my goodness, they saw Jesus do miracles. They witnessed him performing healings, turning water into wine, feeding a multitude of people with just a few fish and loaves of bread. And he even saw them casting out demons. But did they really think he was capable of calming a storm? Some commentary writers suggest that the disciples still did not have a good understanding of who Jesus was. They did not know him as the presence of God with us. Therefore, their reaction of fear and anger is reflective of an old world view of God. They believed that God was absent. He was out there somewhere, uninvolved with the world. So it's very likely that when the disciples awakened Jesus, they simply wanted Jesus' help with the navigating the boat. Or at the very least, they just wanted to know that he cared. I think, however, that it is very significant to note that in spite of all that they may have been feeling in those moments, they turned to Jesus. This, my friends, is the turning point in the story. It's then Mark tells us that Jesus somehow got up and calmed the storm, and then he turned to his disciples and asked, what are you afraid of? Do you still have no faith? And even though Jesus questioned the depth of their faith, please don't miss the significance of the point that they turned to Jesus in the first place for help. That is key. The same thing is true for us when the storms of life hit us. We may be fearful, anxious, angry, feeling uncertain about the future, even questioning whether God cares about us. But when we turn to God, in spite of all of those feelings, we actually crack open that door to our great God. There was a woman in a community who was well known for her simple faith and great calmness in the midst of many trials. Another woman who had never met her, but who had heard of her, came to visit one day. She thought to herself, I must find out the secret of her calm, happy life. And as she met this woman, she said, so you are the woman with great faith I've heard so much about. No, came the reply. I am not the woman with great faith, but I am the woman with the little faith and a great big God. Can we say the same thing? Faith in God begins and strengthens when we reach out to Him, even though we may have those doubts. And small as it may seem to be, this little kernel of faith opens our spirit to recognizing the very presence of God, who calms us and guides us through the storm if we will let Him. And let us then not forget the other question Jesus asked His disciples. He said, "Why are you afraid?" Obviously, Jesus wasn't shaken by the storm. He was able to sleep through it. Jesus wasn't afraid, my friends, because He had confidence in God's care. Jesus didn't need the storm calm to know that God was with Him and would remain with Him through that storm. He didn't need that. He knew God was there. A man named Falk was a sailor in World War II. In one of his letters home, he wrote, "If you should hear that I have fallen in battle, do not cry. Remember that even the ocean in which my body sinks is only a pool in my Savior's hand. There is no promise that we'll be delivered from trouble, but there is a promise that we are not alone in it." I think that's why Jesus could say, "Be not afraid." The sailor knew he was not alone. The reality is that God doesn't always end the storm when we want Him to. And I don't know why. It feels so helpless when I hear about your storms sometimes, and I really do want to calm them for you, and I can't. And I can't even give you a good answer of why it's happening. It is one of those mysteries of God, one of those things that really, if you think about it, points out the greatness of God, because we can't figure them all out. But when you turn to God in faith, even with that little faith, God can calm us. In the Garnier Museum in Boston, there is a painting by Rembrandt entitled "The Storm on the Sea of Galilee." It is Rembrandt's interpretation of the scene of this Bible story. It shows panic etched on the faces of the disciples as their small vessel is being raised up on the high wave, about to come crashing down. And two of the disciples are attempting to rouse Jesus, who was asleep in the stern of the boat. But if you look more closely, you will discover that there's something really wrong with this painting. There are too many people in the picture. So you count them, and there are 14. There should only be 13, 12 disciples and Jesus, but instead there are 14. It is then that you notice that the one man in the boat is Rembrandt. He has painted himself into that boat. He has placed himself in the same boat, which is exactly what this story invites us to do. It is the way that we are supposed to learn how to interpret this passage. We are in the boat with Jesus, faithful and frightened. There is no immunity for any of us from the storms of life, whether we like it or not. We are caught up. We are put in the same fix. I suspect most of us would rather be in those numbered exceptions, which there really are no numbered exceptions. We all have storms in life. Either we would like to believe that the storms will never strike us, or that faith will never fail us. Brothers and sisters, the storms will strike us, because that's the way life is. That's the way life is. Fix your eyes on Jesus and hold on to him, and Jesus will get you through it. Amen.